Thank you, sir. One moment, please.
Cliff Alexander talked to Carl Rowan, and Carl Rowan wrote the story and insulted me and insulted the Congress. Broke it today at 10 o'clock.
I heard.
And quotes all the message, and we just can't send a message to the Congress that that we've had a columnist go out and break, whether it's Pearson or Rowan or anybody else. And he accepted the embargo on it, as the men did yesterday, that they're not going to quote the president. They reviewed the message with him carefully, Cliff Alexander did. But we got the power problems already, and it just looks like to me this compounds them when a man hadn't got enough character. And as far as I know, first time in the history of America that a presidential message to the Congress has been published. But he made a big banner headline today, and I guess the poor fellow wants some recognition. I appointed him USIA director, and I appointed him ambassador, and I did everything I could for him, but he just is weak in that respect. And the headline, it's a big banner, looks like the war is over. And every man in the press is just cussing me for everything under the sun.
I've got three calls on already. I got a call. I haven't answered the call from the New York Times because I don't like the way they handle stuff anyway.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't call them back. But I called back the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm not going to comment on a presidential message until the message is out.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I said, I'm waiting to see what will happen. Well, you were at the meeting, weren't you, yesterday? Well, I said, suppose I was. It was a very general meeting. All the, but I have no idea what specifically is coming out, and I don't intend to comment until I see it.
Well, I'm working tonight on suggestions that Archbishop Boyle made. I cut every Vietnam out of it I could, and yeah. I got down to one, and there's one in there. I'm trying to make that the Berlin Wall or Korea or something else. Yeah. I just don't know what to do about it.
The Wall Street Journal man quoted Rowan to me.
Yeah.
That's what I knew.
Well, Rowan's got the front page here. It's just awful. It just humiliates me. It makes the speaker and the leadership, and particularly the Republicans will give me hell, that the President of the United States cannot perform under the Constitution and submit their messages without going through a Negro columnist.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes, of course. Of course, I understand.
It's the most damaging thing that could happen to me as an individual, to the office of the presidency, and to the Negro in this country.
I'm very indignant about it. I just feel I didn't know that that's the way it was.
It's almost like coming in the White House and stealing the message and taking it off and selling it. That's about what it is.
Yes.
He didn't steal it, but the boy went over it with him. Cliff Alexander went over it all with him carefully, wanted to prepare him, wanted him to have it where he could be ashamed. And he just
broke it.
Just one wrote the story, filed it, and it's a big banner headline and got his byline on it. I could get by if some white man had done it.
Sure, I understand.
I don't know what to do. I just don't know. You're the only one I've called. I've told them that I think I'll just go on with the consumer's message tomorrow and not send the civil rights message. Wait about a week, let it kind of quieten down a little bit, and then send a letter up there saying that here's what I recommend, and make all the recommendations that I'm going to make. Maybe add one or two to it. Maybe find something Clarence Mitchell suggested that we might be able to take that adds to it, doesn't take from it. And then take the rhetoric, the stuff that touches you a little bit about the soldier stuff, take that out and let the Attorney General use it when he testifies, and just say, well, I couldn't, our confidence had been...
How can you repeat yourself? And how can you follow a columnist?
Well, that's what's going to look so bad, you see.
This is, Mr. President, I'm sorry. I have no words to tell you about how sorry I am about the whole thing. Not only about the strategy of it, but about the way it treats you. I just feel this is, I never heard of such a thing before. I never heard of it.
don't know what to... Say, Roy, while I've got you on the line, Jack Valenti talked to me about getting some folks together in California for you. I told him that if he could do it quietly on his own, I thought it would be better. I don't know, maybe you ought to do it individually with different ones. I would be glad to see that every person that we could use to be helpful quietly without anything ever from here, but with the people that we know are interested in this thing, and for him to have a good dinner and really go to the movie people and go to the folks that got money and try to make them see how important this is. I don't know whether we ought to get mixed up with candidates for office or political people out there or not.
No.
I rather doubt it, and Jack is not. He's got a long time. You see, some of these folks are Republicans, and they're not... So I told him to tell Salinger to go on, if Salinger could do something, have his separate any way he wanted to, and then Jack to put on something that was real good whenever it was convenient to you. I don't want to get quoted on it one way or the other, but I think I'd divide them a little bit, because I'm afraid that the other people have bled the pot a pretty good deal on campaigning and elections out there, and the other senators in, you see, he was defeated and his opponent's in, and nobody's really going to like to do too much for a fella afraid that the senator will hold it against him. Now, nobody's going to hold anything against Jack, because they all like him in the first place, and second, he hadn't run for anything. So
well,
I
appreciate whatever
he
doing.
Well, he can
get in touch with him and
you get it and do it. He's a
separately
he has a very sentimental feeling to contribution you made just on what he has observed as a statesman, and he's a sentimental little Italian boy.
Yeah, well, I like him very much.
And he'll help and go all the way. Well, I'll think about this. I don't know what the devil to do. I never had such a thing. If I send it up tomorrow, they're all going to say.
Yes.
That I gave this boy a favorite.
Yes.
And that he's got it, and that's the way.
Got under a handicap right away.
That's right. I think it'll be the issue in all the hearings. How'd this get out? Why'd... On the other hand, if I let it go a week, and maybe they'd forget about it, maybe they wouldn't get mad, then I could send a letter. Now, another thing, though, the Negroes that are here, you're the only one I've called, they may say, well, Johnson had a good message, and then he got mad and wouldn't send it. I don't want to feel that way about it.
Well, I think the technical explanation of it is such that they would understand that. I don't think they would feel that way, and I may be wrong. I have been wrong on some of their moods, but I don't think they would feel that way. I think they would understand that this kind of a thing is more than just trying to beat some news out and try to get as you say, it's an insult to the presidency, to the protocol.
And to the Congress.
Exactly.
See, they are receiving it.
Exactly. And here you are telling them 24 hours...
Here's, let's assume a General MacArthur, some hero, General Eisenhower, is coming back from Europe to address a joint session of the Congress. They're ready to receive his views. And 2 days later, 2 days ahead of time, Drew Pearson said, here's what he's going to tell them.
Yes.
And print it all.
Yes.
And then they have to go up there and listen to it all read. And it's right what Drew Pearson had in his column.
Yes.
Now, you can imagine how they're going to feel about that thing.
They'll feel that they were not important enough.
That's right. And
if they were important, they would have heard it first.
Yes, and I'm just trying to get the good favor of a Negro columnist.
Well, I think your first intimation about a delay is offhand, I'd say, I think that's what I would think of first. And I don't think it'll be misunderstood. Try it on a couple of others. I don't put my judgment up as infallible.
Who do you think's the best one to try it on? Just for getting information.
I would...
Who would have the best feel?
I don't know who would have the best feel. I know who would have the best professional feel, and that would be Mitchell. He would feel as a professional better than anybody else, aside from his own emotional feeling. Young is... is a close friend of Rowan. When I say close, I don't mean they exchange confidences or anything like that. But he and his wife, and he was best man at his wedding and that sort of thing. They're very socially, they're So I believe his judgment might be clouded by the fact that Rowan is mixed up in this. So that doesn't leave very many people for you to consider.
Now, I thought we got in trouble. I cussed him out yesterday about not having some Jewish people there and not having Joe Rao and this other fellow that's head of it. And they said that Harry McPherson, who worked with Louis Martin, said that he just didn't want all these white faces around the table on something like this. And he just felt like that we ought to try to have some of the leading Negroes, but they thought that Mitchell represented the leadership conference along, and we had to have a labor man, and that then we had Fauntleroy representing King, and they just afraid if we loaded down all the white people, tell them what they ought to do.
And you had two women there, too, you know.
Yes.
This is good. Well, I went over this afternoon with a man here in the office. The newspaper man had been calling me all day.
Yeah.
They were trying to find out who was there, but I couldn't remember who was there. But the general agreement here in my own office, among my own staff members, had a good cross-section, a good representation.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Roy.
Yeah.
Don't say I called you.
Thank you, Mr.
Don't say I called you.
Thank you.
Bye.